Have any of you ever thought, boy, oh boy, that was close? I could have died today. Have any of you ever thought that? Just talk amongst yourself and tell quickly your stories. Just finishing up now. We have close shaves in life. A few years ago, I was in Istanbul, and they drive the cars on the other side of the road there, and I looked the right way and stepped out. And one of my friends grabbed me and pulled me back, and the car was, oh my word, that wouldn't have been fun. We do have close shaves. So sometimes they're just right at the moment, and we go, oh, I could have died. But sometimes we see things coming that aren't good, and we know, oh wow, this thing does not look good at all. And sometimes it might be a slow process that we could see our demise. For instance, you may get a snake bite, or you might be having a reaction of some sort. You might be at sea in a wild storm. More likely nowadays, you might be in a turbulent plane, and you start to go, oh my word, Lord, am I going to die? And you guys in here thinking, it's so hot in here, I might die. Okay, we'll turn something on. You were distracting me. But imagine being in a plane and it's starting to just, you hear of that one in Western Australia, it was flying and then it just went straight down. How terrified these people would be. It's a bit of a wake-up call when we realise, oh, that day could have been our last with just a few things. And we've often got nowhere to turn. And the only place at those points we can turn is to God, because we are very helpless in those situations. Have you ever shot up a prayer to God in a time of desperate need, knowing that I've got nowhere to turn but you and I need your help? Have you ever? I remember frozen on a rock face in Mount Arapiles. I had plenty of time to pray because I wasn't going anywhere. Lord, help me. Now, seriously, I wasn't in any danger because I had a harness on, but nonetheless, the fear was real. In our psalm today, Psalm 116, we hear of the psalmist calling out to God and wanting help. And in this psalm, we hear that he got the help. And then at the end, we hear him very thankful that he got the help. So there was danger, there was a cry, there was help that came, and there was thankfulness. It's important to note that today's psalm is about one of those times where things turned out well. There are other psalms where things don't turn out so well, where there is despair and distress and why aren't things coming my way, God? Why are you letting the wicked prosper? But this psalm is one of those where God's deliverance has come, where the prayer has been answered in a way that the psalmist had wanted. And so it's important for us to know that not all parts of the Bible point to victory, but there are those that do, and this is one of them. Ultimate victory comes, but the Psalms are bathed in grief, in turmoil, in tribulation, and in victory. It's good to hold that in tension. Because you may be sitting there when I get to the parts of victory and go, I don't feel like that at all. In fact, I feel like I'm in a place of despair. But that's not this psalm today. This is one that is joyful and victorious. The guy says in verse 1, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He has heard my cry. He has turned his ear to me. That's three times that in this short verse that he's saying, listen, that God has heard. And the implication is that God has turned his ear by acting, by actually getting this guy out of whatever the situation was. And we don't know what the situation was. It doesn't say. But it was a place of distress, despair, that this person thought that they may well have ended in death. But he loves God. Why? Because God has heard his prayer. We as Christians, like the psalmist, can say, Lord, I love you because you've heard my voice when I've cried out in despair. Now, even if we've never had a near-death experience or we've cried out in that distress of physical stuff, we've been able to cry out in our despair, what do I do with my sin? What do I do? Where do I turn? So we as Christians have a direct opportunity to love God because he has done things that we could not do for ourselves. We love the Lord. Why does the psalmist love the Lord? Because the cords of death entangled him. The anguish of the grave came over him. He was overcome with distress and sorrow. He called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The cords of death were entangling this guy. And this reminded me actively of a story when I was a kid in Melton. There was a train line at the creek down the bottom, and the train line, and the kids would jump off, the teenagers would jump from the top into the water. And one day, a kid jumped in, his foot got caught in a bit of wire. He couldn't come up. This psalm speaks of being caught and entangled and trapped. That's what the psalmist was feeling like. I've got nowhere to get out. Nowhere, no way. But I can cry out to you, Lord, in my distress. That was his hope, to be free from the cords, to call out to the Lord. And that's why this psalmist loves the Lord, because as he called out in that distress, the Lord helped him, and he's unashamed to say, it was the Lord who helped me through this. There may be some of you here who feel like you're in a moment where the cords of death are wrapping around you. Now, you may not be in any physical danger, but nonetheless, you may feel inside that you're dying. You may feel in distress and turmoil, and those cords are pulling down hard. I know of people like this, and some of you may silently be one of those people too. What I would want to encourage everyone, if you're feeling like that, like the psalmist did, call out to the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Call out to him in your distress. We've been reminded 3 times already that the Lord hears. May you call to him. When I was in America, I was just turned 18. No, I was about to turn 18. 17 and 11 months, because I wasn't meant to drink any alcohol, but because I wasn't quite 18. So, we're at this Wild Bill show. Has anyone ever been to America and been to a Wild Bill's show? Well, it's this cowboy show where they put on this big performance. And in the middle of this performance, I wish they asked for volunteers. They didn't. They just got someone out of the crowd, and it was me. So they got me up and put me up the front, and they made me hold this. It was like a shield, about so big, and the guy next to me, who was putting me up the front, says, "Now don't move, okay?" All right. There was a guy back about where those front doors are with a bow and arrow, and shot three arrows straight in. It was quite a remarkable moment. Now, at that point, I left because I didn't like everybody looking at me. I was quite anxious about that. And I went out and I left that moment and I went out to the toilets. And at that point, in the toilets, a prayer of mine got answered. A prayer of mine got answered. Because the night before, I was in my hotel room and I'd been seriously considering walking away from trusting God. I absolutely believed He was there. I absolutely believed Jesus died and rose again. But I was weighing up the cost again and saying, well, am I going to turn back? Because the allure of what my friends are getting into, that seems pretty good. I'm giving up a lot. And I knew that I couldn't do both. And I was feeling this pull away. And so in my anguish, I was quite in despair within on where will I stay with God who loves me, who's done all this, or will I go my own way? And in my anguish and despair there, I prayed to God, God, if you want me, show me. Show me. And through these circumstances of being pulled out of a crowd and shot and being embarrassed and going out to a toilet, a song came on the radio, of all things. And the song said, "You're drifting away, you're drifting away. Don't wait too long to let Jesus change your way." And in that moment, I just felt this absolute conviction and joy and knew that that prayer that I prayed the night before was answered. And so because of that song and the answer to that prayer, that's what made me go, well, Lord, if I'm going to follow you, I better learn more about you. So I went to Bible college because of that. Because I'd made this turning point. But it was out of this despair that I shot up this prayer. But it was a real prayer. It was a prayer out of desperation. Now again, mine was not a life and death situation. But in another sense, it was. It was my spiritual life and death. So I'm about to end this section. And there's three sections to this sermon. And I'm going to stop. And I'm going to ask everyone in a moment to shut their eyes. And if anyone at the moment feels that the cords of death are around them. And I'm going to have my eyes shut too, okay? So I don't need to see who. But if you're feeling like that at the moment, just to put up your hand, not so anyone can see, but so you can make a response to God to say, yeah, I need your help here. I need your help. So let's everyone just shut our eyes, please. And if that's you, just put up your hand. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know all of our hearts and you see the people who need your help now. May these hands raised be a sign to you of calling out, of seeking desperately for you to intervene. You know what cords are holding them down and are surrounding them, and we pray by your power you will break them and you will save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there was the danger and the distress and then the deliverance. But what happens, say, you shoot up the prayer, you want deliverance. What if the deliverance doesn't come? Some of the other Psalms are about that. But what if the deliverance doesn't come? And what if you actually die? Does that mean the Lord doesn't care? What if one of your loved ones who you prayed for dies? Does that mean that the Lord doesn't care? know. Verse 16 of the psalm, it says this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. So even if you do die, your death would be precious. Now, I've got a little example which speaks to me, and I hope it does to you. Has anyone ever seen that show, American Pickers? Well, you should need to watch more telly. It's where they go around, these two blokes go around to junkyards. Well, not junkyards, people's sheds. And they go to these sheds and they go, oh, wow, we want that, we want that. These are great things. And they pull them out. Well, this particular time, they went to this guy who had all these cars, and that wasn't a junk one by any stretch of the imagination. There were all these awesome, fancy cars and odd, weird-looking cars. Anyway, the two people would come over to this guy and say, oh, can we buy this one? How much? Oh, nah. I couldn't part with that one. Then they get to the next one. What about this one? Can we buy this one? And the guy who owns them, nah, I couldn't possibly part with that. And they kept going until they got to this rusted out, horrible looking thing. I want to buy this. And he starts to talk and he's like, oh, nah, I really don't want to. And he's like, well, what sort of price? And he said, well, pick a price and double it, and then I'll think about it. Anyway, this guy just did not want to sell his cars because they were precious to him. And the same way, each and every one of us who are God's children, who are his faithful servants, we are precious in his sight. And he doesn't want to let go of any of us, even though if we die, we're still in his arms. He doesn't let go of us or cause us grief or allow grief to come our way flippantly or because he wants to. Sometimes it may be the best thing, even though we cannot possibly fathom how. We cannot. But he knows. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. We need to know that we're even more important than that car is to that collector. It's also true that God doesn't want anyone to perish. Anyone, not just his faithful servants. He loves all people, but extra special are his faithful. For those of you who are... Can you remember last week when Greg was talking about the fortress? Do you recall that? Greg was talking about going into Helm's Deep, that when we were in trouble we could flee to the Lord, who was like this fortress in Helm's Deep, where we're safe, where we're protected, where the walls are strong, no matter what the enemy throws at us. But what I want to tell you and remind you is that Helm's Deep is not where we need to live. Helm's Deep is the place, or the fortress is the place we go when we need protection. And when it's safe again, we need to return to a place of rest. Return to a place of blessing. To leave the fortress and live again. Now, we can always go back to the fortress if trouble comes again. But living's for on the plain. Now, we know that God is with us wherever, and these are all metaphors. But sometimes we get so stuck in the fortress trying to be protected that we fail to live. In verse 7 of this psalm, obviously the guy had gone through distress and trouble. Now he says to himself, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. So he's been delivered, and now he's saying to himself, it's time to return to rest. And I think for some of us too, it's time to leave the fortress that God is and to come out and live again and not go to sleep, but to rest. To enjoy life again. To stop looking over your shoulder in fear. To enter into peace. If you're one who is afraid, I know that these are big words. But maybe they be words of hope too, that you may be able to leave the fortress again. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul." If you need rest, if you think it's time to leave the fortress, I want to pray for you now. Again, let's shut our eyes. And if it's you, just pop up your hand. No one else will know, but you do. God sees it. Lord, work deep in our hearts, we pray. If there's anyone here, Lord, you know who's been in the fortress, abiding in you, I pray that you'll help. You'll help to leave, to be in a place of rest and peace, that fear may subside and that life can return. We thank you that we've had the fortress, that it has kept us safe. Now that the threat is gone, Lord, help us to let our souls rest. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If God has heard your prayer, if God has saved you from danger and distress, if your soul has returned to rest where there was none, then something good bubbles out of it. Something good bubbles out. Thankfulness. This psalmist writes, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" He says, "I will lift the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." So he'll lift up the cup. He'll lift up at this what's called a thanks offering in the presence of everyone. So they used to have festivals where everyone would get together, the whole nation. As many as who could come. They'd come to Jerusalem and have these festivals. And he's saying, "I'm going to, in the middle of everyone, when everyone's there, I'm going to lift up the cup of thankfulness and I'm going to tell everyone what the Lord has done for me." And isn't that what we do? Like if someone saved us, we would say, "Oh, you should, this guy came and did this. Oh, I'm so thankful for him. I'm always in their favour." Well, this is what the psalmist is doing. "I thank you, Lord, because you've saved me." You know how at the start I said, have you ever been in a situation where you've called out to the Lord? Often we do silly things when we're in those places, and we might even say, "Lord, if you save me, I will..." And that's sort of what I did why I went off to Bible college, because I'd made this thing, "Lord, if you show me that you're real, I'm going to fully commit and not hold back." That was sort of the deal I made. Whether that's what he was wanting or not, I made the deal. So if you make deals with the Lord, be careful, because he may well fulfill his end. We've got to keep our word. And that's what this guy's doing. He's keeping his word. He's obviously said to God, if you do this, I'll, in front of everyone, I'll thank you. And he's fulfilled his vows to the Lord in the presence of everyone else with that thanks offering. I'm going to finish this sermon slightly different than the other two where we've prayed, because we're a bit more happy to share our thankfulness than we are our sadness, right? So all I'm going to do is give the space for you to be able to think, is there something, yeah, that I want to thank God for? Do I want to lift up the cup of salvation, so to speak? And just after a bit of time, I'll just count to three. One, two, three. At the end of three, just yell out thanks. Right? That's it. You don't have to do it. If you want to do it, you can. In front of the congregation here, we'll all do it together. But the psalmist was happy to do it. He was so thankful for all that God had done. Delivered him from danger. Returned his soul to rest. I'll give you the space to think, and then I'll count down, and those who want to join me, go for your life. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. You can thank God at any time. You can pray to him at any time. You can praise him any time. And if there's out of our sermon tonight, whether it's wanting prayer, wanting rest, or wanting to give thanks, if you want to do more of it after the service, you can ask one of us to pray, or you could talk to each other after the service as well. Please don't stop just because this part of the sermon has. If it's spoken to you tonight, if God has put his finger on something with you, don't let it go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is full of our life circumstances. The times of despair, but also the times of victory. And we pray, Lord, that you will bring these types of moments to us again and again, where we will know your hand of deliverance, but also that we will cry out to you in our times of need, that we won't shut you out or blame you, but rather we'll put our situation in the one hand where real things can be done. Help us to trust you and help us to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.